And then from that, the Lord gave me a three-part sermon, which originally started as a one-part sermon. And as I was trying to put this thing together, I started realizing more and more and more that to do it in one sermon is going to take a miracle. And it's always great when God's faithful that way, so he gives you three sermons. So it helps you personally in preparation. So I started off with speaking on servitude. How many of you guys were there at that, the bond servant? 22. All right, so I spoke about the bond servant. And that originally started from Peter Wasserfeld that got a word in the beginning of the year. I'm just setting us all up for those that don't know. That the Lord gave us a word from the beginning of the year that we call to be bond servants. And so if you haven't heard that sermon, if you weren't there, can I ask that you please go and download it from the Shofar website, www.shofaronline.org. Yes. I know, horrible, hey? Obviously, I don't. Well, everything's automatic. You know, you just type it in and then it automatically goes there if you've been there before on your browser. So normally it just pops up immediately for me. But can I ask that you go and download and listen to maybe even Peter's sermon in the beginning of the year about bondservant, and then mine about bondservant, and then we'll be carrying on tonight. And the main idea for most of us that come from a church background and know the story about the prodigal son. The prodigal son received three gifts when he returned from his father. He received a robe, he received a ring, and he received a sandal. And tonight we're going to be speaking metaphorically, although I'm not going to go back to that scripture, about the ring. The ring represents authority. And what I was mentioning in the sermon is that in those days, it's very interesting, in ancient times, a ring had a lot more authority. It was pretty much like a credit card of today. So, woman, you got the ring and you got the credit card. Life is good to a lot of the ladies, especially when you get married. But it was like a credit card. In other words, it said who you were. It had authority. You can go shopping with your ring. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, just take your ring. Bling, bling. Here I am. Pay. But it also represented who you were, what family you belonged to, etc., etc. Please get the sermon. With that, let's start in prayer. Lord, this evening we just come and sit at your feet. We come into your throne room with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I thank you that each one has a testimony of goodness. Even though if we don't know it, there is a testimony of your goodness in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that for many of us, Lord, we were that prodigal son that were with the pigs. You came and called us out of that place. You came and sat us and at the table and you gave us a feast. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we pray this evening that your Holy Spirit will come and minister to us. That you will just come and speak so clearly to us. We desire to know, Lord, you. We've heard in the last 2 weeks, Lord, that you are our great reward. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our reward. And as bond servants, Lord, we just come to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I like being practical, and I wanted to bring, let me finish the sentence. I wanted to bring a gun to church tonight, and let me finish the sentence. And I've got this awesome BB gun, like every man should have. I don't know why we like BB guns, but every odd man, if I had to shame you all and say, men, put up your hands at BB guns, you'll be surprised how many of us actually have one. And I wanted to be practical, and I thought, that's probably the worst thing you could do, and then the easiest way to offend and worry someone if you actually arrive. And I know I've arrived with a samurai sword, and I've arrived with some odd things, but I decided tonight, about authority, I'll be speaking a little bit, and it was something that came up in intercession about having a gun. And I thought, yes, I should have brought the gun. But I'm still thankful that I didn't. Yes, all the ladies are looking at me like strangely. I'm very thankful I didn't bring my BB gun to church tonight. But I will maybe be mentioning a very worldly thing that happened with me and the revelation that I actually had out of it. But let's speak about that a little later. So the last 2 weeks, Anri and Pastor Ross came and visited and spoke a little bit about persecution. And I think that in the back of your mind, I want you to remember, for those of you that were there, if you weren't there, get the CD and download it, that there is persecution. And that as Christians, we are persecuted. And that when Scripture was written, there was a amount of persecution. But with that, there's something tonight that we, a key that God wants to unlock for us. And that's the key of authority. And can we go one back before we go on? So what the Lord has shown me is that we know Christ as the Lamb, and we know Him as the Lion. He's represented and spoke about many times in Scripture and in Revelations as well. And the first part was serving in the authority of a lion, and then the meekness of the Lamb. And the meekness part we'll be speaking a few weeks further on. When I'm preaching again, I'm not sure the date is, I'm sorry. But we'll be focusing more on the meekness of the bondservant. So it's very important that you hear all of it. So if you're not there, download that too. Because otherwise you're only going to get one part of the full sermon, and you're going to miss what authority is for. And I don't actually have enough time to get us to hear what authority is about. I just need us to start moving in authority. Sometimes it's great just to get something going. And making mistakes is fine, and we can get it back or fix it later. But it's so important that so many people don't understand authority and how authority works. So tonight I'm going to be very practical by giving a lot of testimonies. I hope that's okay. Mostly my own testimonies and one or two other testimonies of other people that I know of. But please hear my heart when I bring my testimonies. Often when you stand and you're listening to someone, you're going, man, that guy's arrogant. Or man, that guy has no idea what he's talking about. But I really, really pray that you see Christ in all my testimonies. If you don't, then put it on the back burner. All right? Can I ask that? If you can't see Christ in what I say, put it on the back burner and ask the Lord. Go and seek the Lord in it. All right. Moving on to the next slide. So we're speaking about kingdom authority. I think the most important thing for us to remember is that it's not our authority. And it's not authority to further ourselves, but it's authority for the kingdom. And so often we hear Christ saying certain things, doing certain things, but he always did as he saw the Father do. Jesus himself never did anything just out of his own will. He did it because he saw the Father. And to see the Father, he spent a lot of time with the Father. We see him often going up to the mountains late at night, early in the morning, spending time with the Father to see what the Father is doing so he could do the signs and wonders that God had called him to do. My first experience in the supernatural was when, and a lot of you share this type of testimony, very young, and I woke up one night and I felt as if there was someone or something on top of me, and my whole body was numb and dead. And I couldn't move any part of my body. And it felt like there was something around my throat that was throttling me. And I felt, and I looked, but there was nothing. And I tried to move my arms, and there was nothing. And is there anyone here that's had experience like that? Anyone? You see, there's quite a few people that had experience like that. Normally, it's about a fifth of a congregation that has experienced that. And that there was nothing wrong with you. It's not a dream. It happened. And that was a demonic force that was standing up against you. And I remember lying there just thinking the name of Jesus. I tried to speak. My tongue was totally dead. And I remember I must have been high school, somewhere standard 6, standard 7 grade, whatever that is. And as I thought the name of Jesus, this oppression left. And I fell back asleep immediately, and it came back again. It happened twice that night. And I woke up and I thought, something's wrong. I feel something's throttling me. Something's like, but there's nothing there. My eyes are wide open. And I thought again the name of Jesus. And this heaviness, this thing just left. Now, for some of us, that sounds very spooky. It sounds very weird. And so be it. But the power of just the thinking the name of Jesus was enough for me. And that was the first time I experienced the supernatural. I was in an all-boys school, and very arrogant school. And in those type of schools and settings, they teach you that you're the best. You're the man. You're the everything. And I was in matric, and we were on one of these SU camps. Does that make sense to you? Scripture Union camps, but it was more Afrikaans one. CS Fear, there you go. Everyone like, yeah, obviously. All right, CS Fear camps. And so I'm one of the leaders there, and in this all-boys school, and we have all-girls schools joining us. So it was a lot of fun. And I remember the night we're sleeping in these dorms. It's out in Kleinmond. And I remember this girl comes and wakes me up. All-boys school, church camp, girl wakes me up. And I'm all startled. I'm like, yes. And she says, Bernie, we need you now. I'm like, yes, of course you do. And I wake up, I stand, and I come, and she leads me into the ladies' toilets. And as a man, I'm thinking, well, there's better places to go than the ladies' toilets. And I remember I walked in, and there were about 5 girls sitting there. And there was a darkness in that place that I've never experienced. And immediately, at that stage, I read the Bible, I knew a lot of things, but I never seen a manifestation of evil in a person. And I remember looking at this girl, and she wasn't there. There was something else. There was someone else. And they all looked to me, and I'm looking at all of them, and they go, Bernie, fix it. And I had no idea what I was doing. And so like any person that's in a place of absolutely not knowing or having any clue, I asked God what to do. And the Lord said, just pray in the name of Jesus. And I remember I looked in her eyes and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will come out of her. And immediately that spirit left. That was my welcoming in to the supernatural. That was my the Lord leading me to understand. And since then, I've got many testimonies. I'm going to share a few more later on. But that's how the Lord led me. And what I want to teach you out of that is that I did not go to 14 Bible schools. I did not go and sit under the greatest teachings. I didn't have that. I had the Holy Spirit, and that's all I had. And in that moment, God came and showed me, because in that moment, I realized I have no cooking clue what to do now. But I sure know someone that does. And God was faithful in that moment, in that day. Until this day, this girl has lived in total freedom of this. It's never manifest again in her life. And whatever that was, it's gone. Now, a lot of people say you need to know where it came from, what it was, etc., etc., etc. You know what? You don't. You actually don't. You need to know that that was not God, and now you need to know that's gone. That's all you need to know. And sometimes the Lord will show you and explain certain things to you, but God is faithful. And God wants us to walk in freedom, and God wants us to walk in authority. But before I outrun myself, can we move to the next scripture? Or the first, next slide at least. These are a few things that we need to understand are the keys that God gives us to be able to walk in authority. First of all, according to Ephesians, we need to put on the armor of God. Listen, it says put on the armor of God. It does not say God gives you armor. You don't put it on, you're going to get hurt. Obedience. Now, that's a sermon series on its own. If God says do something, please do it. I want to encourage you, God does not ask things of us to be funny. God will not ask you to do something random. It might feel random to you, but there's always a reason why he asks us things. And you'll notice that God moves the most mighty in people that are obedient. Faith. Without faith, you cannot move in authority. You see, in that moment, I had to have faith that the name of Jesus was enough. I had to believe that that name would have the authority. And because I was young enough and silly enough, to be honest, that's why God was faithful. It's so important for I know there's not a lot of parents here tonight, but it's so important that from a young age, we need to learn spiritual things. It's crazy how a child gets spiritual authority and understands it better than we do. It is harder for someone that's gotten saved after 40, after 50, to understand these principles. Because we've already grown. A young tree, you can still nurture. An older tree is a little bit difficult. I put in anguish there. Now, I gave a sermon last year where I mentioned anguish. It's an anguish that God comes and gives us. It's the burden of the Lord. If you want to have authority, you need to ask God for the burden. What burdens him? What is in God's heart? Because he will then show you the injustices of this world so that we can make a difference. Beware if you ask for anguish. Because after anguish comes obedience. Boldness. Something we see in Acts that the disciples came and asked the Holy Spirit for boldness. They were being persecuted. It is something that you need to have. Because otherwise, when you're in a situation, fear will minister and you will submit under fear. Now, the strange thing about fear is, if it ministers, you got no power. Do you agree? You'll see anyone that's a Springbok that plays that level rugby, they're fearless. They have no fear. Back when I was studying, I had this guy from Namibia, typical Namibians. The guy was absolutely crazy. His name was Kat Steenkamp. I kid you not, that's his real name. And this, I think he was absolutely, I don't know, gifted in boldness. I'm going to put it that way. He was very gifted. I mean, he was the scariest guy. He's not much bigger than me, but the scariest center I've ever seen play rugby in my life. He actually played for a little while for Namibia. He broke so many bones, he couldn't play anymore. He didn't understand that when something breaks, you can't play anymore. He would literally break a thumb and play a full game with a broken thumb. Okay? But he was fearless. He would look at the biggest guy on the rugby field, and he'd mark that guy. And he would make sure that that man knew that he was playing rugby that day. That's what he did, game after game after game. I played one game with him, worst mistake I ever made. And we're in the huddle, for those of you that are men, ladies. It's almost like a tea party. Net glad nie, okay? Not at all. So we're in this huddle, and for some reason, I'm next to Kat Steenkamp. This is a great test me. And he looks at me and says, "Are you psyched up? Are you ready?" I'm like, "Oh, are you ready?" And he headbutts me. And I went to go sit, and he nearly knocked me out. I'm on your side, bud. Boldness. True story. Boldness. We need boldness. Like a cat. Then the two things. I just mentioned these things so you can remember it. We need the love of the Lord, and we need the fear of the Lord. You need both. Listen to what I'm saying. To have authority, you need to have the love of the Lord, the compassion that Christ had, but the fear of the Lord, as Isaiah had. We're going to go into that a little later. Spiritual warfare. So often in life, things happen. Life happens. And we don't realize that it's not just a natural thing that's happening. It's actually a supernatural thing that's happening. And what we don't realize is 90% of the time we think we can handle life. And 10% Christ can come in. At those times when I don't have this. The problem is it only gets to the time when we are desperate often that we actually go to God. Is that not so? Think about your workplace. How often are you standing in faith that God's going to come through for you at work? Okay? If you're an accountant and you're crunching those numbers, okay? I don't have time to pray now. I've got to crunch these numbers. Are you giving space for the supernatural? Here's an example. When I was originally preparing the first teaching, I told the leaders this. When I was originally preparing the first time that I was speaking about authority, I sit in my laptop and I really enjoy sitting in coffee shops. I like being around people when I'm planning things about the Lord. I can sense, it's like the Lord allows me to sense where people are at. So I really enjoy sitting around people, just a natural environment where the Lord can speak to me. And this has only happened since I've moved to Cape Town. I used to have to sit in my room all alone and seek God in absolute silence. So this is an anointing that the Lord's given me, something on the side. But as I open my laptop and I'm writing and I'm saving, I get a blue screen. Now, did you know that Windows 10 can still give you a blue screen? I didn't. This time it gives you a little smiley face. It's this little, we're about to shut down. Thank you. And you go like, hello? And this thing just shuts down. And I go like, really? And I, you know, when you start hitting the keyboard and everyone starts looking at you and you're like hitting the keyboard. And then the argument is, I'm going to close the laptop. I'm going to wait a minute. Because a minute solves everything. And I do that. And I open it. And I try again. And it starts. Praise the Lord. Okay. And blue screen. And I go, okay. And immediately the Lord says to me, what is your sermon about? I said, it's about authority, Lord, in my mind. And he says, well, take authority. And so I look at the lady next to me, and I look at the laptop, and I get verbal. Because I know that the devil can't hear you thinking. He can't hear your thoughts. Did you know that? Isn't that awesome? He can't hear your thoughts. So I look at my laptop, and I say, in the name of Jesus, work. And I try not to look at the lady next to me. And guess what? Guess what? I put it on, it works. Didn't give me another problem again. So often things happen that we don't realize. Now, what I'm not saying is that there is a demon behind every bush. Okay? That is a cop with a camera. I'm joking. It's a bad joke. Bad joke. Very bad joke. But there are times that the Lord will tell you to take authority over a situation. I have this amazing friend. His name's Dear Funafafer. He's, I'm going to guess him at about 200 and something kilograms. He is an Afrikaner, as Afrikaans can come, for those that know DF. He's amazing. On Facebook, he puts photos up of bulls. Regte bulle. Like, this is his current cool bull, whatever they call these things. And this is now the one new one he bought. You know, and he's so proud about this bull and this bull. And I don't get it, but apparently you can do anything on Facebook. But that's DF to explain to you. Now, DF is very anointed. He's one of the most anointed men I've met for business. And he was in stocks, in selling and buying of grain, wheat, as it works. He actually worked for many years in Switzerland. And while he was working, he was here in the congregation as well for a while. While he was working here, I think it was while he was working here, not in Stellenbosch, but while he was working here, the boss bought everyone a Buddha little idol, little Buddha Bielki. And everyone got one on their desk. And I want you to think, what would you do tomorrow morning? on whenever the public holiday ends. On Tuesday morning, you arrive, and there's this little Buddha on your desk. What will you do? Can I tell you what DF did? He did the most amazing thing. He took this thing, like only he can, and looked at it. Now, most of us would look at it, and we'd put it in the desk, or maybe throw it in the bin. He stands up, and he takes this thing, and he walks across and throws it in the bin in front of everyone. And that's quite bold. But he doesn't stop there. He then commands and says to everyone there that he's a Christian and that Buddha does not bless him and that it's demonic. And he goes on and he preaches in a business place. And then he says to them that he dares Buddha and explains that as a Christian, he will be prospered and anyone that serves this thing will not. That week, the entire company sales went down of everyone. Except DF, who got the best sales he's ever had in that company ever. Next week, not a single Buddha Bilki left. We laugh. That's taking authority. And I want to encourage us that that is boldness. That's where God calls us to be. You see, authority works like this. Those beautiful men and women that God has blessed us with, called the traffic officer, when he jumps out into the street and a 10-ton truck is coming towards him, he understands that when he puts up his hand, he has the authority to stop the truck. Right? You guys mostly, you know that. It's simple. Physically, he has not the power to stop the truck. But behind him, behind that badge, stands the country. And he's representing the country, saying that I say that the country, South Africa, has given me the right to stop this truck. That is the authority that Christ gives us. That's what it means for us when he went and beat death. You see, if God gives you the keys, it means you don't have to beg. So many of us come before the Lord begging for healing. I'm just being honest. Done in my own life. We beg him for things to happen in our life. And what often happens is God looks at us and he goes, I hear you, Bernie, I get you, but I don't get you. Because I remember a few years ago, Pastor Fred May, I was still serving in Shofar Stellenbosch, and Pastor Fred May was making an example, and he took his car key, and someone just blessed him with a brand new Mercedes, and he took his car key, and he said, Bernie, come up here. It's like me giving my keys to Bernie, and he gives me the keys, and he says, okay, go sit now, and the whole congregation thought he gave me a bit of the car. So everyone's like, wow, you got a brand new car. I'm like, no, I had to give the keys back afterwards. But if someone gives you a key to the car, if your dad says to you, Bitti, take the car, it's yours. And you go to your dad, and you say to him, Dad, can I use the car? He's going to go, yeah, I gave you the keys, you can use the car. And it's good, just as nice, and he understands that. But what he's not going to start understanding is when you come begging to him, Dad, please, please, can I use the car? And he's going, but I gave you the car. It's your car. Go, go. You got the key. Go. Be a child. Go. And so often that's how we come to Christ. Where we are, instead of saying, taking the authority that God's given us, instead of using the ring, the credit card, ladies, we understand credit card, instead of using... And be careful, not for your own shopping experience. Okay? I command a wardrobe three times the size. No, no. Okay? That's not the authority I'm talking about. I'm talking about DF. DF. Authority for the kingdom. God gives us authority. But we so often end up begging before the Lord. Mark 11, 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You know that Jesus never lied? So when he says, I tell you the truth, means you literally have to take note. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must believe it will happen. And have, what's the word there? No doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. But, everyone say, but. Does everyone know what but means? Okay? Let me explain what but means. I'm really sorry, but. Okay, that means, okay, now you got to listen because apparently there's going to be a real condition to this sorry. Okay, I learned that in marriage. Joking, love. Okay. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. So often we don't see things happen because we've got grudges against people. You're going to struggle to have authority if you've got a grudge. You guys remember the older son in the prodigal story? He did not want to go into party with his brother who came back. Probably because he had a bit of a grudge against his brother. Because he says what his grudge is. See, the prodigal son was the one that had the ring, had the authority, had the credit card. He had it all. God actually says, the scripture actually says, that when he divided the spoils to the youngest son, he gave it to the oldest son as well. He gave it to both of them. The eldest son never had the revelation that he had the keys and that he can move. That's what makes the story of the prodigal son such an amazing story. The younger son had the revelation because he had to go to the pigs to have it. The older son never had the revelation because he still held possibly a grudge. He never realized. He said, Father, why didn't you ever give me a bull? Cough up a spit braai for me and my friends. But he had everything there. He could always have done it. All those sheep was his. What was the problem? So often, with the elder son. Those are two keys that we need to understand. Can we cue up that video? Then don't play it until I'm ready. Something on the side. I went to go bungee jump. I went on holiday. My wife and I went on holiday a few weeks ago, and I went to go bungee jump. My mom tried to make me promise that I'd never jump. I was in an all-boys school. She sent me there. She should have known better. And the funny thing is, when you stand on that bridge, it's the one there nearby Plettenberg Bay. It was the highest jump in the world. It's now something like the third or fourth or somewhere there, highest jump in the world, 200 something meters, whatever it is. You stand there, and you realize there can be no doubt at that time. Do you know that? It's not like you can go, Wait a minute. Let me calculate this. Do I have enough faith in these wild characters that's about to throw me off the bridge? Okay, I don't know. Do I think that after 300 jumps, this rope's going to be okay? Well, I don't know. If you're going to stand there with doubt, you won't be able to jump. Peter Murray, when I came back, I told the story to Peter Murray, who's in the congregation here, and he actually worked at one of those jumps. And he told about a story about this one girl who her father took her to jump. And Once you pay, you paid. You don't get your money back. It's a very, very good system. Because it's a lot of money that you're throwing away for nothing, for a view. And so this poor girl was in tears every time. And the father being, oh, you're going to be okay. And that strap up, have her there. And she'd grab these guys. And she just was not willing to jump. And so finally, the father looked at the one guy and said, listen. And for you that don't know, it's actually legal. They may not push you off the bridge. Okay, you may not, but they did help her very nicely over. But the point is, she probably would never have jumped if they didn't, because she had such fear that ministered to us, to her. So when you are on that point where, and that's what authority sometimes is. I don't know if you guys saw on Facebook there was a girl that was nearly raped in the Eastern Cape. Some of you read it. I see some of us are nodding. An incredible story. Two gentlemen came up to them, to her and her boyfriend. I think it was a boyfriend. They took the boyfriend to the car to go take the things out of the car. And the one guy stayed with her. And the guy actually climbed on top of her to rape her. And the Lord said to her in that moment, call unto my name. And right there, she had a chance of being obedient or disobedient. Listen very carefully what I'm saying. Because fear gripped her. For a woman, that's one of the worst things you can ever go through. And she started saying, I pray the blood of Jesus over me. I pray the blood of Jesus over me. I pray the blood of Jesus over me. And immediately this guy came to, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with me. I don't normally do this, etc. And she started to minister to the guy. The man didn't touch her. Climbed off of her. Didn't go any further than that. Because she took authority. You see, in that moment, you have a decision. That you're going to submit to fear, or you're going to stand in the authority that God's given you. Now, be this when your boss is treating you ill at work, be it that something gone wrong in your personal life, be it that you've got bad news because you've heard that you've received a sickness. There's a place where we can decide that we're not going to receive these things over our lives, but we're going to stand up and we're going to take authority. See, the scary thing is, this is 101 of Christianity, guys. Where God's calling us is to take authority over our nation. Do you know what the answer is to xenophobia? Jesus Christ. Do you know what the answer is to racism? Jesus Christ. These are sensitive things in our country, but these are the answers to our problems. And what we're not doing is submitting under fear. We're supposed to be submitting under authority, but I'm thinking, as I'm listening to so many people, I hear them, I think we should leave the country. I don't think it's safe here anymore. I don't see anyone saying, in the name of Jesus, we come against this. Shofar, that is the calling on you. I say that again. Shofar Gardens, Shofar Cape Town, that is the calling on your life. That's why you're sitting in this congregation. Because, and hear me right, we're not going to go now, go crazy. We're going to allow the Lord to come and lead us into obedience. You know what I'm saying? But we have to open our ears so the Lord can speak to us, so we can start praying the things of God. There's a lot of evil in Cape Town. I don't know if you know. If you don't, do yourself a favor. Hire yourself a bulletproof car and drive down Long Street on a Saturday night. And then loop street back up. And have a look what's going on. And ask the Lord to open your eyes. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see brothel after brothel after brothel. There's something, what did Alice Michelle say? Over 50 brothels in Long Street alone. One street, 50 brothels. Yet we are not making a stand and taking the authority that God's given us. Getting very quiet tonight. Can we play that clip? Thank you. Please be a believer like that. Please be a believer like that. It's so important to have the joy of the Lord in our lives, guys. That guy loves his life, loves his job. When he needs to be serious, he's serious. But when he doesn't need to be too serious, he really enjoys life. And I think it's so important as believers to understand, if you want to stand on authority, you need to be like DF. You need to be like that cop. Because so often we get so serious about life, and that we're so always in battle. You know, you hear these Christians, how's it going? Ooh, no, it's spiritually tough. Still, always, you know, every time you see them, oh, it's such a crunch. There's a problem if we're just crunching all the time. Because it means we've lost our joy, which means we also don't have authority. Because if you're always at battle, it means you've never won. And we move to that next slide. Power of the spoken word. What does God give us? He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we may prophesy. Prophecy is incredibly strong, powerful thing that God gives us. It declares something that's not at that point, but what it should be. So when you're looking at a prostitute or a pimp, God's seeing a princess or a businessman. When you're looking at when you're looking at that guy at work that looks like he's been hit by a newspaper. I mean, he's tattooed from top to bottom. And he smokes and he drinks and he curses. And every time he sees you, he says, "You freaking Christians." And he uses stronger words than that. And he happens to be your boss too. God sees a man. He sees the Paul when you're seeing the Saul. And what prophecy does is it opens our eyes to see and call out the Paul. You know what? Paul was the last person we would have chosen to do anything for the kingdom. he would not be the cell leader. He would not serve on any team on Sunday. You would not give him that space. Because he might kill someone if they walk through the door. So much so that when God went to go speak to his people about Saul, they asked, "Are you sure, Lord? Saul, isn't he the guy that's killing everyone? Saul." And the Lord said, "Yes." Even the Christians weren't willing to receive him. See, we need to give that moment life. In Ezekiel, God speaks to Ezekiel about the dry bones. He speaks to those dry bones. He says, "Speak to them that I will breathe over them." Where we say death, God sees life. I'll never forget, I know I mentioned before, but when I was in Japan and we saw the tsunami, where the damage the tsunami did for the first time, I had that revelation. Everyone saw death. I mean, that's all you can see there. And I just saw life. Because I had the eyes of God. God was good enough to come and show me that this is a place where there can be ministry. Because people are undone. They are broken. They've lost everything. But God can come and change. God can come and interrupt and intervene people's lives. What do you see and how do you see it? We need to start realizing the authority that God gives us. Now I'm running out of time and we need to get to worship. I'm going to jump right to the end. You see, what we must realize is that the devil has power. If you think the devil does not have power, then you need to go read scripture. The devil has power. What the devil does not have is authority. He walks around like a roaring lion. And if a lion roars and you have fear, he will consume you. In other words, you give up your right to authority. But if you're Daniel, it ain't no problem. You close that mouth of that lion. See, Scripture says that we must submit to God and resist the devil. So the first thing you need to do is submit to God. In other words, go get the authority. Go understand. Put on your armor and then go up against the devil and you resist him. You say, "No, devil, not in my life. Because this is what God says." And then we start speaking life. I'm just going to run through two or three personal testimonies that God has done in my life. And then we're going to worship. And then we're going to stand in fact that God's going to give us that authority because he's given it 2,000 years ago. But that we have the revelation of it. The revelation that God has given us authority. I was in Israel many years ago. I know I've shared this, but for those who haven't heard the story, I was in Israel many years ago. I was walking up the street, and the Lord said, "Look up, there's a demon-possessed child on the top of the street." Now, most of you go, "How does that work?" I don't know. It doesn't matter. I looked up, there was a child on the top of the street. The first thing I did was I asked God, "What do I do?" Submit to God. The Lord said, "Cross the street. Walk on the other side of the street." I did. In any case, long story short, child comes up to me, wants to sell me a cigarette. I say no. He sees I'm listening to music, and I was listening to gospel at that stage, and he says to me in his tongue that he wants to listen to my music. I say to him, "No," because I know if he hears my music, it's not going to go well, because it's pure worship. This child crumples up the cigarette and throws it in my face, then takes a step back and comes to hit me. And in that moment, I didn't pray, I didn't do something funny, I just stood. That's all I did. I looked at him, and I knew I had the revelation that child can't touch me. And he was swinging away, and not a single fist that he threw hit me. And he started screaming louder and louder and louder because he was freaking out. It was so bad that people actually came and dragged this kid off of me, and then he came back again, and then people came and dragged him off again. But because I was obedient, God was faithful. Because I understood the authority that Christ has given me,
A child couldn't touch me. So often we think we've got to pray so many things. We've got to stand. So you're a child of God. You're already standing. Don't let fear minister, and he won't be able to touch you. You see, I've been in situations where in churches in Stellenbosch, we had very exciting days back in the day, where there would be a manifestation, and this person would be literally screaming and shouting, and this demon inside of them would be literally just going berserk, and people would be standing over them and shouting and screaming and, come out, come out, come out, and nothing happened. You know why? Because this is typical of many of us. You know why it didn't work? I never had a revelation of the authority. So either CS or myself would come over, stand over the person in love, knowing that God wants this person to be free, knowing that God's heart is for this person, that God doesn't want us to live in torment. And you stand over the person, you just speak softly and say, in the name of Jesus, be silent. And immediately that voice is silent. The Lord can minister to that person because God's heart's for that person. I know a lot of us haven't seen that. Sounds a bit weird. But that's God's heart, and those things do happen. Because of the authority. You see, so many of us have gotten hurt. So many of us have been, what's that in English? Disappointed. Because we stood for something. And we really believed we had faith. And we didn't see it coming to fulfillment. And so we decide to rather give it up. Well, maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God was too busy. And so often, guys, we just have to push through. If you miss Wigglesworth and you've raised hundreds of people from the dead, you also know how many people you didn't raise from the dead. Real life story. A friend of mine died. And a bunch of us went to go raise him from the dead. Prayed, and we really believed God said we must raise him from the dead. And we went to go pray. And in the morgue, Mario will probably know better than most, but in the morgue, they're not allowed to leave you alone with a body. Okay? I don't know why, but obviously for specific reasons. But the mortician, is that what they're called? Mortician? The people that work with the dead people. They were so laughing at us, they left us alone. They couldn't stop laughing at us. But we had faith, we prayed, Robert Kellerman was there, had his guitar, and guess what, guys? Our dear friend's still dead. Wow, shocker. Didn't see that coming. And I remember walking out there very, 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 very disappointed. I'll never forget it. God asked me something in that moment. He said to me the following. If I ask you to raise someone else from the dead tomorrow morning, will you do it? Sometimes God asks questions and don't answer immediately. You know what? I will. Because I might fail, but my God cannot fail. I might make mistakes, but my God cannot. You see, it's like Pastor Ross said last week. You can stand, and you can stand before the king, and you can say, you can throw us in the furnace, and our God can deliver us. And even if he doesn't, so be it. But I will not deny that Christ raises people from the dead. I cannot deny who God is. And when we start speaking and thinking like that, God will give us authority. God wants to give you authority not just to heal yourself of that high blood pressure, but others. God wants us to move in the place where we take authority over nations. But what are you contending for? What do you have faith for? What are you standing for? What are you praying for? Are you praying that you get a better job? Better salary? That's great. Nothing wrong with that. I do that. I have to do that. I work for the church. Joke. We actually, for what it's worth, we get paid very well in Shofar. I want to thank you guys for that. Because you guys are faithful in your tithing. We believe that a laborer is worthy of his wages. And God comes through for us because we believe that. Because we know it is tough in ministry. We want to look after the people that, because we believe in people. What are you standing in faith for? Where are you pitching your faith? Where are you asking God for the authority? Can I call the band up? We're gonna worship God, and then we're going to go into free worship. We're going to allow the Lord to come and show us the places that we need to stand in authority again. I really believe that there's people, yes, many of us here, that it's given up in certain areas. And we're going to say, Lord, I take up that fight again. I'm going to stand again. Because God has given us many promises, and we must hold on to the promises of God. Amen. Thank you, band. Lord, we thank you that it's all finished on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that all authority is in Christ Jesus. All authority is in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when you died for every single situation. Every trial, every persecution, any time and every time of confusion, you died, Lord, and you have full authority. Look, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. We thank you for that promise of our lives, Lord, that nothing can overtake us. Nothing can overtake us. And we submit under that this evening. And we resist every voice that is ministering to your people in this time that says elsewise, in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are not the voice of the Lion of Judah. You are the voice of the Lion of the enemy. We declare in the name of Jesus that we have authority. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will have the revelation of Isaiah, the revelation of Ezekiel, of understanding the authority we have. Lord, throw us in situations that deems that we cannot come out of it without moving in authority. I pray, Father God, Lord, that you'll put us in situations. And thank you, Lord, that Scripture says that we will not go through anything that we can't handle. Thank you that there is no fear. Thank you, there's no condemnation. Lord, for some of us, it will be a small thing. For some of us, it will be a mighty thing. But I pray that each of us, Lord, will grow in the knowledge and understanding of the authority of Jesus Christ. We declare, Lord, that you still, till this day, raise the dead. You still heal the sick. You still save people. You still go, Lord, and you leave the 99, and you go fetch that one lost. Open our eyes to see that one lost. Open our eyes to see, Lord, the authority we have. And Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment to know, Lord, where we need to work hard and just grind, and where we need to take authority. Lord, we declare that we are not lazy. That it's not to make our lives easier, but it's that glory will go to Christ. And we declare in this church, in this congregation, all glory goes to Christ. we will not participate and steal the glory of God. When you do a healing, Lord, it's because you've done a healing, not because we're special. We are but vessels, but bond servants. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the responsibility of being a disciple. Teach us, my God. Teach us, Holy Spirit, what it means to be a disciple. I pray, Lord, that we will be like Peter the Rock. He gets it a lot right. He gets it a lot wrong. But boy, he goes full out for Jesus. We pray for that, Lord, that we will go full out for you. Thank you for the space to get it wrong. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we get it wrong. And that you cover each one of us. But I pray that we will step out in boldness. Give us that boldness, Lord. That we may run and endure. In Jesus' name.